M450, Q421. Oh, bless thy servant, dearest Lord. God, he shall preach thy gospel word. May he declare delightful things touching the glorious King of Kings.
Lord shall help this evening. You'll find the text in the psalm we read, Psalm 89, and part of the 19th verse. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one, chosen out of the people. Psalm 89, and part of the 19th verse. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one, chosen out of the people. You have, friends, in your hymn, pray. And I hope that hymn of prayer has been real. Because if it has not been real, how solemn and how sad a place you sit in. To pray, as the dear hymn writer, I believe, prayed, as you had led to pen those lines, was real prayer. And real prayer asks, in the name of the Lord. And real prayer will and shall be answered. You have this evening a poor servant before you. I know it. Not just something to say. But you've made your prayer to a good God, a gracious God, one why there's nothing impossible, one who is able to do exceeding abundantly, even more you can either ask or think. Thus I do hope and pray that as you have sought the Lord's blessing, the anointing power to rest upon us, we shall feel it. We shall feel the realization of the very presence of God in this place this evening. I believe I can say from my own little experience, we felt it before. And what the Lord has given, He's not impoverished. No, the store of His grace will stand the same yesterday, today, and forever. These words I read by way of text. I read this psalm last evening at Chippenham, and as I was reading the psalm, these few words seemed to stand out. I've never, I believe, attempted to speak from them before, but they've been with me several times today. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. You may say, just looking at this psalm, the Lord here, the Holy Spirit, and this psalm is of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of David. It does speak of David. It speaks of him as a king, as a great man, as a mighty warrior. But I believe, friends, these words speak of one greater than David. They speak of one, God's beloved Son. What dear David saw of Jesus, we cannot discover. He saw of Him and spoke of Him in many, many places. But we live in the day of grace. That day when the Lord Jesus Christ came here upon this earth, and His name shall be called Jesus. Why? He should be the mighty Savior of His people. Therefore, as the Spirit shall help us for a few moments, in these words may we find help. You know, we are rich if we need no help. Not rich in the things of God, but rich in our own estimation. We are full we need no help. But as the Lord deals with His people, His chosen ones, His redeemed ones, they do not feel rich. They feel poor. They know what poverty is. I'm not speaking of worldly things. I'm speaking, as the Spirit shall help me, of spiritual things. Therefore, those who feel their poverty, they need help. Do you know what it is? To need help. To seek help. You have no strength in and of yourselves. You cannot meet your case. You feel a helpless one. You feel your poverty. In regard to your soul's salvation, you have heard of the precious blood, the rich blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard of it. You've read of it many and many a time. But oh, you feel your helplessness and your poverty. You cannot apply it yourselves. You cannot anoint your own souls. Therefore you feel your poverty. And what a mercy it is if we can come somewhat in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, where the Lord so exalts his self in salvation, in the manifestation of his power, and he draws poor sinners to come unto him. I have laid help on one that is mighty. God the Father has laid help on his precious Son. We have to worship a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this help then is laid upon Christ, the Mighty One, and this help is manifested as he gives help unto his church. He is a mighty God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He is, you know. He's mighty. The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee, in the midst of the church, in the midst of the individual, he's a mighty God. Then why do we despair? Why are we oft times reduced to nothing? When this mighty God rules, this mighty God reigns over his one church. This mighty God saves even unto the uttermost. Why are we oft times found walking a path of oppression, a path of sorrow, feeling our weakness, crying out like one did in themselves, as weak as worms? Why do the Lord's people walk this way? Why do they experience it? That they might know again and again the mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk contrary oft times. We sin against God. And but for the mighty God, we should be lost and ruined. But this mighty God lifts up, brings up from death unto destruction, unto the might and the preciousness of his own blood. I've laid hope on one that is mighty. Let us then ask ourselves the question, is this mighty God our God? Is he, friends? This mighty God our God, one of whom I've just said is able to save unto the uttermost. Then have your case this evening. Have you come up with a case? Is that case weighing heavy upon you? Or weighing you down? Is that case too much for you? Is that case so that you feel bowed down? I've laid hold on one that is mighty. This mighty Saviour who saves from death, destruction and despair. This mighty Jesus who is able to do exceeding abundantly even more than either ask or think. The Lord God has laid help upon him. And he alone can help you. He can help you out of that condition, that case, wherever you may be. You may feel this evening like a sheep in the ditch upon its back. What a hopeless case. Yet it's a sheep, a real sheep. You wouldn't call it a dog. You wouldn't call it a goat. A sheep. And that sheep in the ditch upon its back, unable to save itself, unable to save its life, almost breathing seemingly the last breath. And you know, poor sinners come here, and how they have to look for help. They must look for help. If there's one before me like this, our text is, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. One who came down from heaven here upon this earth, that through salvation, might and power, his people should be redeemed. The one who has paid that great price. And as we sing sometimes, I did turn to the 592nd hymn in the vestry. And we read in the second verse concerning this mighty Saviour. Mighty to save, nor all sin's power can hold the sinner in that hour. When Jesus called him home, nor Moses with his iron rod can keep the trembling soul from God when the set time is come. What a mighty Saviour there. And as we realize a little of this, if the Holy Spirit has led us into these things, we know something of the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear old Jacob said, I know it. Do you know it, friends? Know something of the might of the saving power of Christ? It's the sum and the substance of the whole gospel. It's meat and drink to the soul. It's life and light and power to those who feel their sickliness, their death oft times. I've laid help. Are you despairing this evening? Are you trembling? Am I his or no? Do I love the Lord or no? Your soul's anxious. Your soul's trembling. And you know not sometimes where to look. You know not where to turn. There's only one I can point you to. That's a mighty God and a mighty Saviour. And the Lord God, the Father, has laid help upon him. He helps then and lifts up. how soon. I mentioned that sheep in the ditch or maybe in the field on its back. How soon that sheep, as it is turned over, runs away. I did say somewhere, maybe in here or somewhere else, I was amazed. I believe it was back last summertime. I was driving through a certain lane and I saw a sheep on its back. But I quite thought someone would have seen it. I came back in about 20 minutes' time and that sheep was still upon its back. I was amazed. And as I got out of my car and walked across the field, I just touched it. And it rolled over. And ran away. Bleating. You know, it touched me. The Lord's people. They have a mighty Saviour, one who sees his people in deep despair, one who knows them in that state and condition. He has just but to touch, brothers, just but to touch, just but to manifest the virtue of his precious blood, reveal himself as God and his Saviour. How do we realize these things? It is by living faith we behold. But we've got to be brought low enough to seek help. Sometimes we think we are brought low enough. Sometimes we think we shall not be able to take another step. We are brought so low. But you may have to be brought a little lower, that you might seek help from this mighty God, this gracious God and eternal God. I've laid help on one that is mighty. Now I did mention in prayer, and you've heard many, many times, that the sweet promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I've laid help on one that is mighty. It is in and through Christ Jesus that the church receives the promises of God. Have you received from the Lord a promise? Does it seem to fail? Does it seem to fade? It cannot. It will not. Because the Lord is laid upon one that is mighty. The help, that help which is so necessary. It is through Christ, a precious Jesus. I've often thought, when I've come to the end of a day, maybe a Sabbath or during the week, in preaching, how one fails to set forth the might of Jesus. It is to be experienced. It is to be known. When he shows us a little of the depth and depravity of man, our own selves, and his might, his capability, his ability to save from self, save from sin, safe from those things which bring about much despondency, and how the Lord helps in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, his people, to lay hold of his word and his promises, as he helped you. They've been given to you. You felt it. Then Satan has come and said a few hours, maybe a few days, maybe a few years afterwards, you only read that. You only heard that with the outward ear. Can you leave it there, friend? Can you leave it there? Can you listen to Satan? And as you listen to him, can you say, well, that's amen, that's finished? No. No. You'll have to plead and plead again. You'll have to do as the Lord has said, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Lord, thou hast said. Thou hast said. Whatever that word has been. If we are void of the word of God, we are void of life. And to be void of life, we shall one day be void of heaven. The Lord, God of heaven and earth, he's laid hell upon one that is mighty. You know, it's you and me that belittle. And I say that word reverently, belittle the might of Christ. It is. We doubt it. We are such poor things. But with all our doubts, with all our fears, all our belittling, he remains mighty. A mighty King, a mighty Savior, and a mighty God. Then why do fears arise? Why are we downcast? This mighty God has said, fear not. Why? For I am with thee. Dear soul, what a precious thing it is to have the presence of a mighty God and a mighty Savior. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, not with thee in weakness, but with thee in might. Those fires, he's with thee, not in weakness, but in might. Beloved, think it not strange. The fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's with his people in these places. He's with them in his might. And as we consider even deeper the word might in salvation, I believe we shall have to be led to see a little of Gethsemane and Calvary and that glorious resurrection of the dear Redeemer. What might, friend, was displayed. Can't we should never fathom the might, the mighty power of God's dear Son, as he burst asunder the tomb for his people. Death could not hold him. Why that tomb entombed. A mighty God, a mighty Saviour. It was the determinate counsel of God that he should die and rise again. There's a glorious felt sense and realization of the might of Christ as we think of the empty tomb, as we think of one who rose again, that precious Saviour who shed his blood. Oh, the might that was enforced upon him. Oh, the might that laid him low. He was laid low. He bowed before his Father. He cried. His soul was in agony. Was that a mighty God? Can't you think for a moment as that throng viewed God's dear Son? Doubtless many pointed, we read they wagged their heads. As they pointed and wagged their heads, what was in their thoughts? Just a mere man, not a mighty God. But there were a few, I believe, who knew him as a mighty God. And as they knew him as a mighty God, they worshipped him. I've laid hell upon one that is mighty. Have you felt it, realized it through his love and glorious sacrifice, through his blood and righteousness, through the that fountain which has been opened for sin and uncleanness? 'Tis there and there alone that sinners, they feel the hell. You know, if a person helps you, you know it and you feel it. And as the Lord Jesus Christ helps, we speak much of help. We may say to one another, as we go into the house of God, I hope you'll be helped. Helped in hearing. Helped in preaching. What do we mean? The help of the Lord. The hand of God, friend, his ear is not heavy. No, his arm is not shortened. Why? Because he is a mighty God. Has there been something in your lives? You know, there are times in providence, in providential leadings, and what we might say sometimes, providential disappointments, providential things which you cannot understand, as a mighty God helped you. You may have looked your case, you may have looked your path. You've looked it in the face. And you've cried out with one abode, all these things are against me. It's not all plain sailing, you know. Some seem to think it's all plain sailing. Well, they have a different religion to which I have. There's adversity. There's strugglings. There are times when the child of grace is brought very, very low. The dear psalmist said, I was brought low, and the Lord helped me. He laid help upon one that was mighty. And when he said he was brought low, he meant it. It wasn't just a matter of conversation, a matter of speech. He meant it. And the Lord laid help upon one that was mighty, a dear Redeemer upon which the Lord in mercy has said that all men's hearts are in his hands, this mighty God. Now you may have naturally an enemy. You may have naturally someone seeking to do you a harm. Someone perhaps trying to scar your character. This is the work of Satan. And he's an old hand at these things. I remember reading, I believe it was the late Mr. Carr at Bath, when he was a young man, he hadn't been preaching long, and there were some tales that had no foundation put about him. And he had a letter from an old minister, and the letter went something like this. I may not be able to quote it rightly. Friend Carr, bear what you can and cast the rest upon the Lord. I thought when I read it, what an advice. Where was he to cast it? Upon a mighty God. And that dear man, being the Lord's servant, the Lord saw fit that he couldn't bear it all. No, he needed a mighty God, a gracious God to enable him to cast it upon him. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Who cares for you? I hope it can be said, friends, a mighty God, a mighty Saviour. Then if he cares for you, you cannot perish. You shall not perish. The wind may blow. The sea may rage. The ship may rock. But none can sink with a mighty God in the vessel. Christ Jesus, the dear Son of God, he holds us. He helps, and he will help. I like that, you know, what we read. I believe it is in the Corinthians. I like those words, where it speaks of the Lord, he hath delivered, he doth deliver, and he will yet deliver. I've laid help on one that is mighty. Dear soul, the government shall be upon his shoulders, upon the shoulders of one of whom the Lord God the Father has laid help. Then who shall perish if he be our governor, our God, and our leader? If he be our king, if he be one who brings us forth and manifest his power within our souls. I have exalted one, chosen out of the people. Now we know David was chosen out of the people. You remember how Samuel, his brothers went before Samuel. There was that, I forget the one's name now, of a rather good stature, strong looking man. And even Samuel thought that this must be the king. But no, there was young David, minding the sheep. God's chosen one. And how it reminds us of the humanity, humility of a precious Jesus. A tender shepherd. He is a tender shepherd, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The chosen one of the God of God, one who lay eternally in the bosom of the Father, came down upon this earth that he might be a shepherd. Oh, and as we realize this chosen one, chosen, dear soul, to redeem you, chosen to help you, chosen to lead you, chosen to comfort you, chosen to console you. There's no end to it. No end to the beauty and the preciousness of this mighty God. And I hope none of us will come short of Jesus. We sang last evening at Tiffinham, and it seemed to lay hold of me. Give me Christ, or else I die. Give me Christ, or else I die. I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. This greater one than David. You can read how David was exalted, how the Lord owned him and blessed him, but one greater than David, how the Lord exalted him. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That means the church, right down through the ages. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus said, a mighty God said, even so. So must this mighty God be lifted up. I've laid help on one that is mighty. May he then be your helper. May you cry with the hymn writer and testify of him as the helper of the helpless, the chosen, lovely Son of God, the altogether lovely one. Amen.
The Lord will, Mr. Hyde will preach here on Tuesday and next week. Let us close with hymn number 593, tune 671. Jesus is a mighty Savior, helpless souls of your friend. He has borne their misbehavior and his mercy knows no end. Only helpless come and on his grace depend. Thank you.
Might be led deeper into the might of salvation and know thee, Lord, more and more as our mighty Saviour. Pardon all thou hast seen amiss. Take us each one now beneath thy care. May the love of God, the grace of his dear Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide. Amen.